Warning, warning. This is the realest podcast on the internet. So if you don't like real shit, stop listening now. You're here with your homeboy, Art Dog, your main man, MJ Gunner, and the Reverend Real Shit, Sam Spoon. This is the Sons of Legends podcast.
What up, everybody? Art Dog here, MJ Gunner.
Ha cha cha!
Reverend the Real Shit, Sam Spade.
What up, though?
And welcome to the Sons of Legends. Thank you guys for listening, and we finna get into some of this wrestling business. Of course, we had Backlash on Saturday. And it was cool, in my opinion. Sam Spade, your opinion?
Man, we as U.S. crowds got to do better.
Matt, your opinion?
Yeah, you know, it was a nice pay-per-view, but yeah, he's right. You know, the French crowd kind of put it over the top.
Well, let's get into that conversation. How do you think the crowds differ from the U.S. to the international waters?
I think it's mainly because we're used to it because it's a weekly thing. Weekly thing, as opposed to those crowds might get it once, maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
So that plays a huge part in it. Yeah, we gotta do better.
Yeah, I think I agree with Sam Spade. You know, the U.S. crowds are kind of spoiled by it. You know, we're used to getting the WWE shows, you know, every week. So sometimes, you know, we might not be as hot or go as hard as, you know, we should. But them international crowds, they go hard almost every single time. And those are some of my favorite crowds to see, to listen to. You know, the crowds over there in Ireland and England and France, you know.
One of my favorites was Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Puerto Rico is a good one. You know, I think my favorite part about the England crowds is they have the best chants. You know, they chant their chant things in rhyme. They have rhythm. You know, they
started the Bailey chant.
You know, they're
Bailey song.
They're taking their shoes off. You know, they're doing shoesies over there. You know, I enjoy it. I think that. You know, that the UK fan base is kind of the best of both worlds. You know, they have the respect that you would find in the New Japan audience, but they also have the excitement and the, you know, energy you'd find over here in the US. So those international crowds, those are some of my favorites.
But that's the thing, like, in the UK, they got a weekly show too, and they were still rowdy every single week.
Yeah.
Like, they kept their energy up every single week. I think different places have different energies, and I've seen different energies for different types of shows. Like, I've seen the crowd in St. Louis go nuts at WWE shows, but not like they did at the AEW show.
Yeah.
And I've seen crowds in Chicago go nuts for the WWE show. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But not for the AEW show.
I honestly think that it's also got something to do with the fan base. I've got a lot of friends on Facebook that are from places like England and Ireland and places like that. And they're all really well educated on pro wrestling. You know, they're knowledgeable. They get excited for the shows
not just
and everything.
Casual fans.
Right, you know, the kind of fans like those, they really take a deep dive into this, and you know, they become a part of the show. You know, they really do.
That's how it is in certain areas. Like I've seen a lot of different shows in St. Louis. I've seen pay-per-views where the crowd was kind of dead, but I've seen pay-per-views where the crowd just would not sit down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I think it's based on how they feel at that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But international crowds, they only get they get shows every so often.
Yeah, they gotta turn up.
So they gotta show
so,
out.
So they don't, right, we don't know when they're gonna get it again, so.
Thanks to Franz for being turned from beginning to end.
From beginning to end, like, a hot crowd just does, it's gotta do so wonderful wrestlers.
Stop it with them.
There was no stops. They were hot from beginning, from the first match, the tag team match with Orton and KO, all the way to AJ Styles at the end.
They had one of the best entrances with Jey Uso that I've seen so far. You know, yeah, they had flash the lights on. And everything. I think
they started a new trend. I think that's going to keep going.
I hope so. Like I said, it was pretty spectacular to the eye, you know, seeing it.
Yeah,
that was by far one of the craziest things I've ever seen since Bray Wyatt, rest in peace. Dark.
Yeah, they turned the lights down a little bit. Everybody turned their flashers on. And that was an amazing scene.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, I mean, let's get into the pay-per-view. Let's start with the first match with the Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo and Tama Tonga. How do you feel about Tama's debut, Sam?
Well, it was a bit of a monkey wrench because we thought it was going to be the other guy that showed up, but it turns out to be that he showed up. And I'm like, okay, that works. That works.
I think I've revised how the storyline is going to go, but I'll tell you after.
But I was actually surprised to see Tama and Solo get their ass beat for so long. I was kind of surprised by that.
A little bit.
Yeah, you know, you gotta remember that as much as we want the Tama and Solo to have all the violence and everything, you know, Randy and KO, they're both veterans. You know, and you're not gonna really just get the jump on them and just, you know, completely beat them down without, you know, them getting much offense off. You know, that's not likely.
And the beginning of the match, it was just all buck wild. They sent security out again. I'm thinking, why are they sending security out and this is a sanctioned match? And then, was it Pierce or Aldis that came out?
I think it was Aldis. Yeah.
Aldis came out and was like, I'm done. I'm tired of this. This match is no count out, no DQ. Y'all do whatever the hell y'all want to do. Go ahead. And they just sent all the security away, rung the bell, and it just got busy.
It did. It was crazy in there.
The spot of that match for me was KO with the Island Driver.
Yeah.
On all the chairs.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the match. Because they got the one, they got the two, and then KO got pulled off the cover.
No, the referee got pulled out.
Oh, the ref got pulled out of the ring.
By Tongaloa.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that they went with this move instead of bringing in Jacob Fatu. And I think I saw this take on the internet recently, and it was said that Jacob Fatu and the way he works and, you know, how charismatic he is, you know, et cetera, that he would have kind of overshadowed Solo as the main guy in the Bloodline. And I gotta say, I kind of agree.
I think I know. I revised the way that this is gonna go. Okay, so we got Solo and we got G.O.D.
Mm-hmm.
We got Hikaleo that's probably gonna come and join their side.
All right.
We got The Rock that's gonna head that side. Then we got Roman who's gonna come back wanting this spot. We find out that The Rock's headlining it. He's going to get the Usos back. And then we're going to get Jacob Fatu and his peoples on that other side. And that's probably going to be War Games. Jacob and Zilla.
Right. I feel that. Like I said, I kind of agree with that take on the internet. Jacob Fatu, you know, I watched him at MLW. He's extremely talented. And I feel like his presence would kind of overshadow Solo.
That's why he's probably going to be on the other side.
Yeah, and I'm also glad that they went with an actual tag team to put with the Bloodline instead of just having Tama and probably Jacob.
Exactly. Because I think that with G.O.D. there, with the Gorillas of Destiny, with them there, that's Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. With them there, they are formidable to the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
You got The Rock formidable with Roman. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have Solo and Hikaleo formidable with Jacob Fatu and Zilla.
Yeah. So there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about before we get off the subject of the Bloodline. That's the King of the Ring. Tama Loa is actually going to be the representative for the Bloodline and not Solo. You know, when they start qualifying matches on SmackDown.
Not Tama Tonga either?
No, I think it's Tama Loa. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's Loa.
That's surprising.
I wouldn't say it's actually too surprising, to be honest with you. You know, with the way they're presenting Solo and the way that, you know, he operates, the way we've seen him operate, he doesn't seem to care about championships or titles or, you know, any of that stuff. He just wants blood, man. He just wants destruction. And I really don't think that there's a reason to even put him in King of the Ring, you know. If that's all he wants, he just wants the mayhem
but
and stuff.
I'm not going to lie to you. Tonga Loa's not the best wrestler. If you've watched him in New Japan or watched, you know, any of his matches, he's got a very limited moveset. He's not very charismatic.
I mean, I would have went with Tama Tonga myself.
Yeah, I think Tama Tonga, it would have been the better choice.
At this point, I honestly don't really think it matters which one of them they put in there, because I don't think either one of them would move on in the tournament anyways.
We'll have to see. I mean, it'll be pretty interesting if Jay makes it to...
That's what I'm hoping for. But we ain't got there yet.
Does anybody know what MFT means yet?
I have no idea.
I can Google it, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
But they trademarked it. I know that.
I have no idea what that means.
But yeah, I think that match was
motherfucking Tama, maybe.
I think that match was a great setup for what's to come in the future. I think it was a good introduction for Tonga Loa.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of botched his spot, you know, he didn't come up in time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he missed the timing on that.
But you know, it was a good introduction for him. Great win for the Bloodline. They needed a win over some veterans to kind of solidify what's finna happen. And I think it's a good start.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely excited.
So the next one, was it the triple threat?
I think so. It was Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton.
Which was kind of a coming out party for Tiffany Stratton to show that she belongs in the title picture.
Hey, I was right. It does stand for motherfucking Tonga. I was right.
MFT. Motherfucking Tonga. That's awesome.
That's putting it bluntly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No sugarcoat needed.
But I definitely feel like they're pushing Tiffany Stratton pretty hard. You know, once she does get I honestly hope that they do kind of pull her away from the title picture until they're ready to go ahead and pull the trigger all the way. Because if she stays towards the title picture and loses to Bayley a couple times, then this will all be for nothing. You know, I feel like they need to kind of pull her back a little bit, maybe, you know, have her run with Naomi a few more times, you know, maybe at a pay-per-view or something like that.
I disagree.
And then...
I totally disagree.
Well, if we're not gonna put the title on her right now, then yeah, I would definitely say keep her away.
I understand not putting the title on her right now, but I also understand them pushing her the way they are. I think that they need somebody to divert her attention. They can put her in the title matches, but you need somebody to make her lose. That way she can get into a nice, good feud with someone.
Yeah.
So
I'm not gonna lie, when she first came to the main roster, I couldn't stand her. She's growing on me though. She's growing on me.
You didn't watch her in NXT, did you?
Obviously not, because it's been Tiffy time for a long time.
It has.
And Tiffany Stratton was very interesting to me almost immediately. The moment they announced that tournament for the title when Indy Hartwell vacated it, I just knew that it was going to be Tiffany. I mean, don't get me wrong, Roxanne Perez was the kind of golden girl at that time, but Tiffany Stratton just had this charisma about her, and she was like the replacement for Mandy Rose, but she was very much more athletic than Mandy Rose was. She was actually, I don't want to say she was a better wrestler than Mandy was, but she was a better wrestler than Mandy was.
I would say, I kind of feel like that's fair, to be honest with you. I kind of feel like that's a fair observation. Because personally, I do feel like she's got Mandy's well worked in the ring, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know? Let's not let the pretty face fool you, folks. Tiffany Stratton can't go in there.
And her moveset was more elevated. I mean, she was the perfect replacement for Mandy Rose. Because mm-hmm. not only did she fit the aesthetic with, you know, the blonde hair and all of that stuff. She fit the aesthetic, but she actually could go in the ring more than Mandy actually could.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that was a good replacement. She fit the bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were a group of girls down there that could do their thing, but not like her.
Yeah.
And people liked her. I mean, they loved to hate her. I wouldn't say that they liked her. They loved to hate her because she was a great heel. Because she had this pompous, rich,
I'm better than you attitude. Than you,
And it worked. It worked.
It did work. Personally, I feel like it still works.
Yeah, you know? It does, but it's kind of evolving. Yeah. Because remember when she started off in NXT, she was
Daddy's girl.
Like a rich, daddy's girl, spending money, shopping, and all of that stuff. Mm. And it's evolved to Tiffy time.
Yeah.
So, but all I think she needs is a nice, good feud. I don't think Naomi's the one.
Yeah, if it's not Naomi, then it should be somebody else. Somebody with, you know, a name and everything. You know, it'll be a credible victory.
Yeah,
Naomi's definitely one of those, but she already beat Naomi, you know. I feel like they should kind of move on.
Yeah, her and Naomi I think they're 1-1.
Yeah.
So, It wouldn't be a bad thing.
And maybe one more time to give her the
one more
the
time
win.
To give her the upper hand.
Give her the 2-1.
Cause
let her go up in the series.
You know, Naomi's gonna always be a good guy because people like her.
Yeah.
But until she joins the bloodline,
I think that they'll take Nia Jax before they take.
Yeah,
Naomi.
I think they kind of missed the boat on that one. If I was gonna happen, I feel like it would have happened back earlier when it was Roman and Solo and the Usos, and then they would have brought Naomi in.
But I mean, it was a pretty good match. Bayley retains with a roll up off of Naomi.
It's kind of anticlimactic, to be honest with you.
Very abrupt.
Yeah, it's like what is over already? You know, where did that ending come from? You know.
Yeah, it was a pretty quick roll-up, and to see Naomi so happy that Bayley won kind of took the air out of it, too. I'd have rather her been getting kind of frustrated, because everybody's cool with this glow stuff. I liked heel Naomi.
Yeah, I feel that. You know, I definitely feel the point you just made. You are being all happy and stuff, and she just got rolled up for the pin. Like, where's the competitive spirit with that, you know?
Right.
Like, you just lost the title match, girl.
I liked heel Naomi when she first came out with I'm Amazing and talking to the crowd all bad and coming out all hood. Like, I like that hood Naomi. Let's bring her back for one more run.
Yeah, I see.
So,
well, I don't know. It just seemed like they weren't really doing much with Naomi.
Well, yeah, I mean, bringing her back was the highlight so far. Mm-hmm. Her being at a spot in the Royal Rumble and coming back and, you know, her face-to-face with Jordynne Grace. But since then, it's like they've had really nothing for her. I mean, the title match is cool. Being in a feud with Tiffany Stratton is okay. But she got to switch it up. I mean, we cool with the glow or whatever, but it's starting to get stale.
It is kind of stale. That's what I would say, too. It's kind of getting a little old and everything. Yeah.
Right. We like it, and it's a cool thing, and it's a nice gimmick and everything, but it's starting to get stale. And I don't want it to get to the point where we don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, so I definitely feel like it's getting there.
Yeah. That's how it goes in wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Like
if you
2 years of doing the same thing feels like a lifetime.
There are very few people that can really keep the same character and keep it going for decades upon decades and it still be the same, you know, still be as fresh.
But even when they keep the same character, they revise it a little bit to do something with it.
Yeah, the person I was thinking of was Kane. You know, he's you know, Undertaker's brother, and then there's Brothers of Destruction Kane, and then there's Mask Kane, and then there's Unmasked Kane.
There's the Kane that was with DX.
Yeah.
There's the Kane with the steel mask. Yeah. There's Kane that was electrocuting Shane's balls, stalking people.
Yeah, that's
unmasked
Kane.
The May 19th
the Kane with DX is funny.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That was fucking hilarious.
Even when somebody kept the same persona, they revised it.
Yeah, that's in order to keep it fresh.
And Naomi's been doing the glow thing for the last maybe 5 or 6 years.
It's been a good 5 or 6 years. Like, I think she really started that when she became... Hell, it might be even more than that, because I think she really started, because she had a glow title when she was a SmackDown Women's Champion the last time.
Yeah.
I think that was about 2017, a good 7 years ago.
It's been a good 8 years she's been doing that gimmick.
8 years.
So I think it's just time to switch it up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Naomi's a veteran, so she could take some people under her wing and really, I mean... Team Bad wasn't a horrible thing.
Yeah, wasn't a bad idea.
Wasn't a horrible thing. So, her, Sasha, and Tamina was killing shit.
I like them.
But, yeah.
What happened to Tamina? Bring her ass back.
Tamina, once she got those tag team titles, man, because people start really respecting her after a while. But she couldn't do the same things that she used to be able to do. You got to remember, Tamina's in her late 40s, maybe?
Is she?
I know she's in her 40s.
Do a quick fact check.
I know she got to be in her 40s or something, but...
46.
Huh?
46.
Exactly. She's in her late 40s, man. She just... I mean, she's got kids, and, you know, you can't do this stuff forever.
Yeah.
But she was getting well-respected because people were starting to chant for her. She won the tag titles, and that was, like, the peak.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it would get any better for that unless they brought her back with the Bloodline.
I don't think she needs it.
And it even then, you know, yeah, the boat kind of passed with her, too. You know, yeah. This is a new era of the Bloodline.
Yeah. All right, next match.
I think the next match was Damian Priest and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight title.
Which was the best entrance of the night.
Yeah, I think we talked about it earlier. Like,
by far.
I don't care what anybody says. Jey Uso, his star is shining bright on Raw. He's one of the most over faces on Raw right now.
That's one of the reasons why I'm so upset that he hasn't had a single accolade yet.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, you know. Other than Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal a few years ago. But
that was as the right-hand man.
Yeah. You know, before I could see why, you know, they had to make sure that, you know, they had to, you know, kind of let him cook. But I feel like he's cooked enough. You know, I feel like he's ready.
He's going to be al dente.
He's ready. You know, he's ready to get the big feuds, you know, get a few accolades underneath his belt. You know, I feel like he's ready to be the star that a lot of us want him to be.
Yeah, but the only problem is he wasn't going to start by beating Damian Priest. Not this soon.
Yeah, not this soon.
That's the thing. They threw him in the world title picture right when Damian Priest won it. Everybody knows his first title defense, he's not going to lose it.
Yeah.
And now he's in the King of the Ring. And I don't have his chances being very high.
Personally, I hope he wins it. Like, only person I feel like could stop him on Raw side would be Gunther. And I feel like he needs this more than Gunther does.
I don't know, man. Ilya Dragunov's going hard.
Yeah, Dragunov, I almost forgot about Dragunov.
That's his next opponent.
Yeah, Dragunov and main event Jey Uso are going to... That's going to be one for the ages, but yeah, I feel like Jey Uso needs this.
Let's not forget that he almost beat Gunther if it wasn't for Jimmy.
Yeah, so. Like it's time for him to go all the way. Let's give him the singles accolade, and hopefully this will build for something else.
Oh, man, looking forward to King Gunther.
Well, King Gunther might have to step to the side.
I was kind of looking forward to King Gunther because I think he'd carry the title of King of the Ring very well.
Yeah,
could you imagine the annoying level that would be King Gunther?
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, I demand your respect. Not the ring general no more. The King Gunther.
Personally, I feel like that Jey.
It fits for him. I think Jey's gonna kind of squander it. To be honest with you, I think he's got so much hype and so much energy, and his entrance works so well. Him being King of the Ring is not gonna fit well with it.
I mean, I can see him bringing his own swag to the crowd and everything.
Oh my God, King Yi. Oh dear Lord!
I could see it.
Yeah, I don't want to see King Yeet. The Yeet King.
Yeah, I don't want. I don't want to see that.
Well, you guys are gonna have to get used to the idea.
I don't know, man. This doesn't sound like a good idea. Well, I'm sorry, Gunner.
Well, I said what I said, and I'm standing behind.
I hope you do.
Yeah. But, we'll see what happens when King of the Ring is around.
But all Judgment Day basically interfered. Finn, JD, they come out. They help Damian Priest win. And then, surprisingly, after Damian wins with a South of Heaven off the top rope, they start trying to beat up on Jey, and he pushes everybody off of him. Grabs Finn by the face, tell him that's enough. Make them back off, and, you know, they raise.
Now, that kind of surprised me, the way he grabbed him by the face. Like, wait a minute, this Finn Balor here, man, what the fuck? But they got him on like a jobber damn near. I don't like that.
I mean, the roster's so stacked, though, man. It's a lot of top talent there, and everybody can't be on top.
Fair point.
That's true. Personally,
I don't think he recovered ever since he got the Universal title and got injured. I don't think he ever recovered from that.
Yeah, I think it's been a hard road. I think he kind of recovered when he went back to NXT.
Yeah, I feel like he got back. He got his footing back underneath when he went back to NXT and won the title and everything, and then came back up. You know,
and then
that's where he found badass Finn again, in my opinion.
Yeah. He was a for real heel when he went back down to NXT,
yeah.
Beating on Gargano and Ciampa and everybody.
But bringing back to Damian Priest and the Judgment Day, hopefully that this does not mean that he's leaving the group. What I want to hope is happening here is he's trying to assert his dominance as the new leader of the group while Rhea Ripley's away. Like, I gave you guys a direct order, and y'all gonna have to fall in line. Like, but I'm calling the shots now. I'm world heavyweight champion, and y'all gonna do what I say.
They haven't listened to anything that he said.
I feel like that was kind of a warning shot. Like, all right, now y'all not gonna keep ignoring me. I got the big belt here.
I mean, whenever he's like, why do y'all keep jumping in my business? I don't want anybody to interfere. I need to do this on my own. They haven't listened to a word.
It might take the beat down, to be honest with you. You might have to beat the respect into somebody out there, Damian Priest. I'm not even going to lie. Like, you might have to put hands on JD or something. Like, you're going to have to assert your dominance as the head alpha here, Damian. To be honest with you.
Something got to shake.
Like, he got to get the troops in line.
It seems like he's trying to separate himself from the Judgment Day as the top guy. And he can't do that if they keep interfering in his stuff. Yeah. But without them, he'll lose.
I mean, Gunther had a faction, but they rarely got involved in his matches, though. You know, he did just about everything on his own.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he had them in line where he beat them if they got out of line.
That's what I kind of feel like that Damian Priest needs to get. He needs to get him some of that power that Gunther had.
Finn ain't going for that, bro.
Well, Finn going to have to find himself a new group.
Finn ain't going for that shit.
Dom might go for that.
Well,
but that's Finn Balor, bro.
Well, Finn Balor might have to find himself a new group then. You're going to have to step then, brother. It's my group.
If he steps, JD steps.
Well, yeah, I guess it'll just be Dave, Dom, and Mommy when she returns.
That'll be...
I feel like when Mommy returns, her reaction is going to be through the roof.
And hopefully, when she does get back, he'll have firm control. And
I think it's inevitably going to lead to a split up, whichever way you put it. Because if Rhea comes back and they have to check with Damian every single time she gives him an order, it's gonna cause problems. If Rhea comes back and he's beating on him, it's gonna cause a problem. If Rhea comes back and Damian won't listen to her, it's gonna cause a problem. I think it's just gonna lead to a split up either way it goes. Cause she's got Liv Morgan to worry about. Cause Liv bought that business right now.
I think so.
And she about taking whatever Rhea had is mine now, including Dom.
This is my favorite.
Did you know this on Raw? I know we're skipping ahead, but you know it's on Raw. She had a purple bandana in her pocket.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Liv Morgan so far, you know, in her career. I feel like they're really trying to get behind her. You know, they gave her something to work with, and she's working it. She's working it. I love it.
I think Liv has made gold out of coal everything that they've ever given her, whether it was the Riot Squad, whether it was, you know, the Money in the Bank, whether it was feuding with Ronda Rousey, whatever it was. I think Liv does a good job of making gold. She's like our truth. Except she's like serious about it.
I can say we can't put her in the same group as our truth. The passion is there. I give her that. And she has been able to take whatever she was given and run with it.
I don't think that there are a lot of people like our truth. That includes Liv Morgan. Our truth could make the most unlikable person be the most likable person just by interacting with them.
I mean,
like, I've never seen Carmella. That before in my life. Like, he did it to Carmella. He's doing it to The Miz. Like, R-Truth creates baby faces. Like, I've never seen anybody do it better.
He almost did it to the Judgment Day.
He almost did it. He did. For a while there, he was doing it to the Judgment Day.
I do got a Judgment Day, like, t-shirt with R-Truth on it.
For a while there, he was doing it to the Judgment Day. I've never seen in all of my 19 years of watching wrestling and going back and watching the other stuff, I've never seen anybody really create baby faces the way R-Truth does. Like, you could be the most despicable, low-down heel But you get paired with him, and you
Triple H did. Triple H created a lot of.
I can name one wrestler he won't be able to get over.
Who?
Muhammad Hassan.
I think he could.
I think he could. Like, you pair anybody with him.
You doubt the love that R-Truth has.
Like, it would work with Logan Paul.
I'm just going off of the fact that they just killed his whole career based on something that had nothing to do with him.
He'll keep calling that man Muhammad Ali. And he will make the crowd start chanting. Right.
Damn, that is funny as shit.
I'm telling you, he'll keep coming up with phrases like float like a butterfly, skiing like a bee.
He'll twist it.
He can make anybody
float like a bee and sing like a butterfly. He'll say some shit like that.
Person in the room.
The guy just challenged the whole NCAA to a match.
You could think the most hated wrestler you could think of, and R-Truth could make them quite lovable.
I would love to see him PT with MJF. That would be fucking hilarious.
It all depends on if MJF is even coming back to wrestling.
Face MJF was working though. Like,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I think he's injured, isn't he?
He was taking time off after he had those belts anyway because they put him through the ringer when he was tag champs by himself.
I mean, if he does not go back to AEW and that's the reason why, then I don't blame him at all. Why the flip are you defending the tag titles in a handicap match?
He's honestly their top superstar.
Like I said, he's the most popular
person in AEW. We've been watching Mercedes, and she's a draw. And all her talking is not her strong suit, and that's all she's doing.
I hear she's going to wrestle at Double or Nothing.
That's going to be her debut match.
So there's a take that's going around on the internet since we're talking about her and everything. If she does main event this show, do you feel like that would... lead that would take Swerve down a notch as AEW World Champion?
I think anybody main eventing over their world champion takes the world champion down a notch.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think Swerve should be represented as the most important person in the company. And
he's
that does
not even
include...
been in the main event since he won the belt.
See, and that's why, personally, I don't feel like Swerve's going to really get over and be a great world champion if we're not going to treat him like one.
Right? I think...
AEW comes off to me as trying to create moments as opposed to creating stories.
Yeah, I hate that, to be honest with you. I don't really like it when WWE does that, and I don't like it when AEW does that. Like, it's great that somebody gets their moment, but then after that, they want to just... stick it to the side and be like, oh, well, you got your moment. That's good for you. But now what?
But that's,
well, this person's got the title now. But now what?
That's what AEW specializes at. Why do you think they used to have debuts every single week? Yeah. Every week, Tony's got a big announcement. Yeah. That's what they specialize in. Moments. Just nostalgia moments. I think they put the belt on Swerve, and it's a good thing, but I also think it's a detriment to the company putting the belt on Swerve because Swerve has never been looked at as world championship status.
And you know I don't feel saying? Like they did enough and to really did. Make him feel like he Thank could be you. That.
I mean, for once, I actually agree with you about building somebody to be the world champion. And Swerve wasn't built to be a world champion. He was built as, you know, a nonstop type of I'll keep going type of guy with the feuds with Adam Page and, you know, he was a heel for the longest until Nana started dancing.
It's just great.
Then all of a sudden the crowd got behind him because Nana comes out dancing and now, you know, the TikToks start going and then the crowd started swerving with him and they just was like, oh, well, the crowd likes you now, you're a baby face.
I was going to say that unfortunately, I feel like that's why they really put the belt on him, because he's hot. Okay? He's hot, but they're not doing enough to keep him hot.
The match with Adam Page, the Texas Death Match with Adam Page, is what got him over and in the ring. Nana is what got him over with the crowd.
Yeah, and it's fun, and it's entertaining, and I like to watch it and everything. You know, everybody does the cool little dance and everything. But as I said, I feel like they only really put the belt on him because he's hot right now. And
yeah, none of that's going to really matter if they don't do right by him by putting him in better situations, which they're not doing.
And not only that, Christian Cage is not a viable first opponent because he hasn't been world champion yet.
He was champion in WWE.
I'm talking about world champion in AEW. We're not talking about
But he kind of already has a pedigree, though.
I mean, Christian, I feel like, is a name that everybody that he's respected in world and in championship wrestling and everything. And getting a win over him would be big.
I think he needs a MJF feud or... I mean, he could have ran it back with Joe.
I mean, I definitely feel where you're coming from because as much as we love him, Christian's best days are far behind him.
And not just that, Christian was the TNT champion for God knows how long.
Right.
Lost it God knows how many times, but kept finding a way to get it, like, turned around. Yeah. But like, he's not in the upper echelon. Yeah,
they don't represent Christian Cage as a world title main eventer in AEW.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I feel that.
It's like he's going back down to the mid-card for challengers.
Like, and his reputation can follow him. It does. It follows him all the way to the top. But as you said, they don't represent him as a world champion contender. Yeah. Like, has he ever had a shot at the AEW World Heavyweight title before?
Not that I can remember.
I don't think so.
Like,
because he's been the TNT champion.
And this is, like I said, it's nothing against Christian. Christian's definitely a respected guy.
Yeah.
And a win over him would be big. But it's not building him in the direction that he should be going in.
It's like the world champion beating the TNT champion. You know what I mean? That's what it's almost seeming like.
Yeah.
Even though Edge is the TNT champion right now.
It'd be like if he faced Edge or Chris Jericho or, you know, Christian. You know, the people that are close to having their careers be over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? People that, you know, are on the tail end of their careers, you know, you have the match because they're the name. And that's great, but, you know,
what's
it's not going
to do for right, to establish your title reign.
It's not going to build for him in the direction that it should be building. He should have more viable in their prime challengers who can have better matches with him.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I mean... So, Cody's first title defense was against AJ Styles, right?
Yeah.
Viable opponent. AJ's been champion a couple times, and we all believe that AJ can win the belt at any time.
And AJ can still go.
Exactly. That's...
Like, AJ can still go at a high level, too.
And that's what he proved at Backlash.
AJ is represented as a world championship contender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
not saying Christian can't go, but he's not represented as a world championship contender.
And AJ and Cody had a fire match.
They did. It was great.
And I love...
Speaking of Backlash.
Yes.
Please, what did y'all think about the Black Booty Meat Dragons beating the Kabuki Warriors for the titles?
Sounds great. Why did you have to say it? I just was about to say, please don't say it.
What did he say? The Black Booties?
The Black Booty Dragons.
The Black Booty Meat Dragons.
That's what he's going to call JD Bianca.
The Black Booty Dragons.
No, Black Booty Meat Dragons.
Booty Meat Dragons. Sam Spade.
Well, there is a lot of booty meat there.
Yes, but do we have to draw attention?
I actually was surprised at how good the match actually was.
To be honest with you, me too. Like, I was not, you know, I didn't have this match circled as one of the better ones from Backlash.
But it actually was.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I'm not sure why we're so surprised. You know, Bianca is one of the workhorses in the women's division, and so are the Kabuki Warriors. And this is a tag team match, so, you know, even if Jade is not at that level in ring, it's not really going to have that much of an effect.
But we finally saw her take some bumps. We finally saw her take some shots. She sold some stuff, which was really good.
Yeah.
They had their moments with the insane elbow, mm-hmm. with Jade doing the jaded from the electric chair position.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some fire stuff. The KOD on top of Asuka for the win.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, Jay can't go or anything like that. It's just, you know, there's a reason why they're tagging her with Bianca. I feel like that's a really good reason to kind of disguise whatever flaws Jay may have in ring.
But see, I said this before. I said that she needed to be in a tag team first to learn the ropes, to learn the WWE style and how to do things. And then right now, I think that who's going to stop them?
I can't think of anybody. Not in this tag team division.
Yeah, they're going to hold the title for a while, and the only people that are going to stop them is themselves. When they eventually the mega power breakup angle.
Oh, the arguing, the pushing and shoving, that this was your fault, this was your fault type of thing. And then, boom, explodes. Somebody gets to roll up on them, wins the titles, and then they start feuding with each other.
I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Personally, I feel like the best feud for Jay, best first single feud for Jay would be Nia Jax, especially since she just got moved to SmackDown. Like, I don't think that Nia Jax will really let go of what happened at the Royal Rumble. Like, Jade Cargill humiliated Nia Jax at the Royal Rumble. We all saw it. Nobody's ever been able to eliminate her from the Royal Rumble. I do not see her letting that go. Like, it's been a while, you know, the feud's kind of gone cold, but I feel like one or two attacks will reheat it.
Yeah, I can see Nia making them lose the tag titles and her want her get back and telling Bianca, let me get this.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool. I could see that happening.
Like, we all know it's leading to Jay versus Bianca, but hopefully it's less
farther. That's what the world wants.
Right, but I think this would be worth waiting for. You know, let's let Jay get her feet wet a little bit. You know, let's let her, you know, really settle in get established.
You got to be really good in the ring in order to have a good match with Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Because Nia's...
I'm not looking to see some 5-star classic match. I'm looking to see a beatdown, I think is going
to
happen.
Nia's not very technical. So in order to have like a long, nice match with Nia, you have to be a little bit on the technical side. Becky had some good matches with her. I mean, if Alexa Bliss could do it, I'm sure that Jay could do it.
I mean, nobody said anything about long, extended match.
No, I'm saying it's got to be long enough. It's got to be at least 7 minutes.
Okay, well, I feel like that they could have a 7-minute match of just hard-hitting wrestling.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know, this is going to be
listening. 7 minutes in the ring is a very long time.
Exactly, man. I don't want to see a bunch of punches back and forth.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do some moves somewhere.
Power moves.
You got no problem seeing Gunther and Sheamus beat the living hell out of each other.
That's
for
a different
21
ball
minutes.
Game, bro. That's a different ball game. You got these two guys are turning purple in front of our eyes.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. That's kind of
and that's not what Nia and them's going to do.
I understand that that's kind of a stretch comparison.
It's very stretched out because nobody does what Gunther does.
Right, I get that. But I feel like, you know, the hard-hitting style
in
women wrestling, you know, kind of gets...
We still saw white noises. We still saw body slams and stuff like that, which is going to be all
fists.
On Nia's side.
I'm not saying just fists, but I kind of feel like the hard-hitting, really tough style of a wrestling sometimes gets swept underneath the rug when it comes to women wrestlers sometimes.
I never said that when it came to Charlotte and Ronda. Because Charlotte beat the hell out of Ronda,
Barf.
And you loved every minute of it.
Barf. But I feel like this could be more of a physical match and not, you know, just tactical wrestling match. I feel like it'd be better this way because you know, they won't go out there and try to do all the big, you know, tactical moves or whatever. You know, I'm not saying there's not going to be big spots, but I feel like that this could be a good test for Jay.
I think Nia should dominate, and then, you know, the big spot will be Jade picking up Nia for the Jaden.
Yeah.
That'll be the big spot. So we'll just have to see how it goes, man. But I like Jade and Bianca as a team.
Yeah, me too. Can't say I like that name, Sam Spade.
What's wrong with the name?
He say black booty meat.
Black booty meat dragons. BBM dragons, flat out. Let's go.
I'm hollering.
Good Lord.
But yeah, King of the Ring started. Sheamus and Gunther. Banger of a match, of course.
Good one.
Gunther goes over.
People talking about dragging off of Ricochet.
Dragging off of Ricochet one. Was fire. Loved it.
It was.
And Dragunov goes over. Jey Uso versus Finn Balor, because Finn thought he was going to get a pass because Drew McIntyre's hurt.
He was killing me. You know, I don't know what it was about the way he was just saying stuff, or, you know, the way he was reacting when Adam Pearce came out there, but he was just killing me. What are you doing out here? What do you mean I'm about to get a first round bye? I found that to be kind of funny this week with Finn Balor.
But Drew did show up. So I think he's going to cost Jey Uso one of these matches.
Man, he needs to... Look, focus on CM Punk. I want Jey Uso to get that crown, Drew. Please.
I think he's going to cost him one of these matches.
Look, he need to mind his own. This ain't that got nothing to do with you anymore. You're out.
This guy here.
I love Drew McIntyre, but I will not like him very much.
You've hated Drew McIntyre since he listened to me at WrestleMania.
I love Drew McIntyre, but he will make a lifelong non-fan out of me if he calls Jey Uso this tournament.
Man, flap Jey Uso.
Man, flap you.
That's what's going on. Flap Jey Uso.
Yeah, whatever.
He ruined his life while he was in the bloodline. Now you think you just over it? Nah, that ain't what we do around here, son.
Whatever.
CM Punk, you don't get yours. And then Drew went online and made a video and made some great points. CM Punk is always running from him.
So you can't never catch that guy.
He say he in the skybox. I go into the skybox. He in the ring. I pull off on Monday Night Raw. He pull up. He always, then he got nerve to call me a coward. Yeah. Who's running here?
He don't want the smoke.
Who running here?
He don't want it.
That's funny.
But yeah, the women's Queen of the Ring, you know, started on Raw.
Yep, we had Natalya and was it Shayna?
No, I don't think it was Shayna. I think it was.
I know we had Zoe Stark advanced. Shayna Baszler, I think, advanced. Because I think Zoe fought Zelina Vega. Or was it Shayna that fought Zelina Vega? I don't know. But the Queen of the Ring, they keep calling it the Queen and King of the Ring, which keeps throwing me off. And there are so many qualifying matches that I got to actually look at the bracket in order to tell you what's happened.
Before we get off the King of the Ring tournament and everything, I want to get you guys' opinion on something. Because Kofi and Rey Mysterio is the fourth qualifying match for Raw. I was talking to my friend Oldie, and he says that he thinks that Xavier Woods is going to be upset because Kofi got the King of the Ring spot and he did it, and that he's going to turn on him.
Xavier got injured.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Same way Drew wasn't medically cleared. And same way Bobby isn't medically cleared.
Yeah, here, Dawkins is going to take his spot on SmackDown.
So we just got to see what happens. I mean, I actually wouldn't mind the New Day breaking up at this point. I think they've done everything that they could do as a group.
yeah,
as either a trio, a tag team, or any of that. I think they've run its, I think it's run its course. Everybody's got single accolades. Everybody's been tag team champions together. I think it's.
I would like to see Woods get more stuff underneath his belt before his time comes, though. Before his time to hang.
I want to see him get a title run one time.
Yeah, one time. I feel like him getting an Intercontinental title or something should happen before he decides to retire.
But he's got to change it up. He's not going to do it as being in a New Day.
Yeah.
He got to bring some of that consequences. Creed back.
I love
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying being in a New Day is a detriment to him. Because Kofi's had his world title run. Biggie had his world title run. Xavier won King of the Ring. They've been multiple time tag champions. Probably, 11 times?
I can't even count them.
Like, in my opinion, the greatest tag team ever. It's done.
Can we really call a tag team more stable at this point, though?
I call them the greatest tag team ever because they had the Freebird rule.
A 10-year run is pretty impressive.
Not just 10-year run, but never breaking up and actually splitting ways amicably.
Yeah.
Amicably is the word you're looking for, sir.
Same thing. But splitting up at their own will, everybody having a singles accolade, everybody having tag team accolades, It's you can't ask for nothing more of that out of a stable.
Yeah, I don't think you can either.
I can think of one other thing they could do. It probably will never happen, but I can think of one thing. They got to finish that feud with Kenny Omega and the Bucks.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen on Up, Up, Down, Down.
I don't see that happening, at least not without Big E, you know? If Big E would ever come back to wrestling, maybe, but I don't see that. Personally,
I think Big E's done. He's done.
I mean, he did go on Twitter and thank everybody for supporting him and all of that stuff, and that was right before he did the pictures with Mia Yim's sister.
Yeah, I think he might be done.
He might be done. Because that feud that they had in for Street Fighter, that was legendary. Legendary.
And it always will be. It's just the fact that I don't think the Young Bucks or Omega ever get signed to WWE.
And I don't see Woods or Kofi going outside the WWE to do it.
Oh, no, never, never.
It's a nice thought.
The only possibility I can see this ever happening, and that's if Big E even does come back, which I highly doubt, is that Tony Khan and Triple H get together and just do a Forbidden Door PPV type of deal.
I don't see that happening
because too many
egos
gonna be involved.
You already know how that is,
because
Tony doesn't
have. Who go over here? Who go over there? You know.
Yeah, Tony doesn't have any producers, and WWE got too many producers.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we got 2 minutes left. Anything you guys want to bring up?
Who won, Kendrick Lamar or Drake?
I got Kendrick up by one. And that's because I did have Drake up when he dropped Family Matters, but Kendrick stepped on it by dropping Not Like Us
right the grams.
30, 40 minutes after Drake dropped.
Meet the Grams.
I mean, Meet the Grams was a good one, but Not Like Us gave us a bop for the summer.
They're not like us. They're not like us. That's my shit.
Freaky ass nigga, you a 69 god? Come on now. Come on now. Because Drake dropped hard when he did Family Matters. That was hard. And I think people didn't give it the respect that it deserved because Kendrick dropped right after that so fast.
I think we need a little bit more time to talk about this one.
He didn't give people a chance to marinate. He didn't give them a chance to marinate before he responded with Not Like Us. I mean, because don't get me wrong, that Like That was a feature, so that gave him a small point. But then when Drake dropped that push-ups and came crazy, and then Kendrick dropped that Euphoria, And it was on from there.
Less than a minute.
We're going to have to come back to it.
Yeah, I'm going to take a quick break. Come back to it. Spend 10 minutes talking about it.
Bet. All right. Let me take a quick one. All right, guys. We coming back talking about this Drake and Kendrick beef. Had to give it a couple more minutes because we got, you know, some stuff to talk about. And like I said, Sam Spade think it's probably top 10 battle of all time. I think it's in the top 3. I think this is the most content that we've ever received out of any rap battle in history, probably. I mean, first off, Like That was the shot that started it for real. And that was the Future record with featuring Kendrick Lamar. It's got radio play. I don't think any of Drake's disses got radio play.
No. I think the reason a lot of people are even giving Drake any credit at all is because he's a singer.
Nah.
Yeah, he started out rapping, but most of his hits are him singing.
I mean, that Push-Ups, it did some damage. I ain't gonna stunt. So he came with Like That. And then we was waiting on Drake to respond. Everybody was waiting on Drake to respond. Drake responded with Push-Ups. And Kendrick stepped on it with that Euphoria. And then,
I hate when you walk, I hate the way you dress.
That one was crazy. That one, that Euphoria was crazy. I mean, the line where he say, they say that you the boy, but where is the man? Because I ain't seen him yet. I mean, calling that man a pedophile.
And see, that's where I'm at with this beat, because both of them accused the other of some fucked up shit.
They did. And then
we need receipts.
When Drake dropped that Family Matters, he hit him hard too.
He
hit him hard.
I'm not gonna lie, I am not the biggest Drake fan. I ain't gonna go so far as that I hate the dude, but not a big Drake fan. But when I heard that, oh, that's what we doing? Okay, bet.
That's what I was like. I'm like, oh, that's what we doing, because he called him a fake activist. He said my man beat on his wife. He say you call yourself the Black Messiah, but you married a mixed queen.
Mixed queen, yeah. He went in.
He was going hard on that, and the fact that he switched up on 3 different beats. That was.
And then within an hour, here come Beat the Grams.
And that one was a low blow. I mean, he's basically, Kendrick wrote a letter to every one of Drake family members. He wrote one to his moms, to his dad, to his son, and to his supposed daughter.
Oh, man. They was going haymakers. And then he followed it up with, "They not like us." I'm like, this dude.
That was the nuke right there. That "They not like us" is, "Not like us" was not only a bop for the summer for people to dance to, but he was just going in on them. I mean, calling him a 69 guy, calling him certified lover boy, you're a certified pedophile. And I mean, he was just like, he's telling him, like, you hanging with these little dudes, and you know, you go to Atlanta when you need this. You go to this person when you need this. Standing next to Sexy Red, I think you see 2 bad bitches. You might start popping with them.
Somebody just heard this shit 2 days ago.
It was just, I mean, I've been listening to it almost every day. Listening to Family Matters and Not Like Us, trying to see who got the leg up. And the only reason I say that Kendrick got that leg up is because he stepped on Drake's drop. When Drake dropped that Family Matters, he ain't even let people marinate on it before he dropped again.
And then another one.
Yeah, he dropped back to back on Drake. That Meet the Grams and Not Like Us was bam, bam.
Now, I'm not going to lie. The Hard Part 6, it hit. until like the last couple bars for me.
What?
It kind of like it came off to me like Drake was throwing up the white flag.
I don't know. I mean, the last bar was him saying that you beat on your wife. Is that self-defense because she bigger than you?
No. That was in Family Matters. I'm talking about the Heart Part 6, the last one Drake brought.
Oh, yeah. I ain't even heard the Heart Part 6 yet. I ain't even heard that one yet.
Go listen to it. It's hard, but the last couple bars kind of fuck with me. Go listen to it.
But then, right after he dropped that, I'm scrolling through my timeline, and I see Metro Boomin drop BBL Drizzy.
Yep.
And now you got all these unknown rappers and people out of nowhere just going at Drake because of this BBL Drizzy beat, and this beat went 5 times platinum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how
does and now Rick Ross in the game might be having a beef based on this, too.
I'm like, how does an instrumental or a beat just go platinum?
The power of social media, my friend.
It is just, it's insane right now. And I'm just like, this shit has got crazy. I gotta listen to the Heart Part 6. I definitely gotta listen to it because Drake has to fire something back because Kendrick dropped back to back and it's not like us. It's gonna be riding for a while.
Trust me, the Heart Part 6 up until like the end, it hits hard. Yeah, I'm not going to really tell you, but it hits. But it just came off like a white flag to me.
Yeah, I got to hear it. Because right now, I ain't going to lie, I got one up Kendrick over Drake. I think everybody's doing an immaculate job on this beef. The only thing that I'm concerned about is Drake did say, I'm feeding you the information, that you going off of what you hear.
Mm-hmm. He addresses that.
He did address it. And he said that he's feeding the information to his crew. And if it is true, then Drizzy up one. If it's some false stuff, Drizzy down three.
Well, that's why I said we need receipts. Because it wouldn't surprise me if both of them lied just to get, you know, shock value.
Yeah.
But it's not out the realm of possibility that they both could be telling the truth, too.
The only thing I can say, though, is Drake is battling more than one person.
Oh, yeah.
He's battling all at one time. He got Rick Ross on him. He got Kendrick on him. He got Metro Boomin on him. He got Future on him. Like, all of a sudden, it seemed like the whole industry turned on Drake. But that's why I say this is one of the wackest, fakest industries in the world, because they've been going along with this nigga for years.
And he make hits.
Yeah, and if y'all didn't like him so much, why y'all let this shit ride for so long?
Does he make hits?
Kendrick, the only one that was
like... You don't kill the cow if you keep making milk.
Kendrick was the only one that said I never liked him. J. Cole said, I'm cool, man. Y'all can have this shit.
Yeah, J. Cole, he low-key started this shit.
Low-key? No, Future started this shit.
I mean, if we want to go all the way back, I think Chris Brown started all of this shit.
Chris Brown got his own issues with Quavo right now.
He started all of this shit. You want me to be honest with you?
Chris Brown got his own issues. He dealing with Quavo. He already sent him an atomic bomb.
Sent his ass to the gulag.
Yeah, that was crazy. Chris Brown was straight disrespectful on that record. Talking about this dude beat women. He said, we saw the videos in the elevator. Talking about he fucked this girl while he was with him. Talking about when Takeoff died, everybody wished it was you instead.
Yep.
He went straight to hell with this album.
I think low-key, that might have been the hardest diss all year so far.
Might have been. I think Chris Brown might have dropped the best diss record. And now they got females rap beefing with each other. Because not to mention Sukihana just dropped the record dissing JT from the City Girls. And she going low too. If JT respond, this going to be the summer of beefing.
The summer of beef. And you know who fault it is? Cat Williams.
He did start the year off like
he started the year off dissing everybody in Hollywood.
He did. He started it off dissing Cedric and Ricky Smiley and all of these people.
Steve Harvey. Kevin Hart.
I mean, he started it off. Monique picked up the ball and ran with it.
Oh, yeah. I got to watch that Charles Barkley one, though, because I know he's going to be dropping some zingers in there, too, because he don't give a fuck either.
I mean, it seemed like the only person that ain't went on there and just dissed everybody is Godfrey.
Yeah, he was on there. He was actually just cracking jokes left and right. That was pretty funny.
Because Amanda Seals was going off on everybody, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, this summer is either Cat Williams say this finna be the year of exposure and truth. This might be the year.
So far, we've gotten it in a roundabout way.
This might be the year of beef and cooking.
It's gonna be interesting, that's for sure.
Because people is beefing and cooking each other.
Not gonna lie, like I said before, Drake surprised the fuck out of me. But that's why I really think he's even high up on the, you know, who won thing, simply because you wouldn't expect that type of heat from Drake, because that's not his forte.
Drake done showed up to everybody that tried to come at him. Whether it was Meek Mill, which he cooked Meek Mill, Pusha T, but he lost that one. Whoever it was that showed up trying to go at Drake, Drake answered. And he on one. Like, don't let him fool you. He might be a singing lovey-dovey certified lover boy, which I like his singing songs better. I don't like when, like Kendrick said, I don't like when you try to act tough. Because I know your point, track though. Record.
But that's my point. Would you say that the distance he threw at Pusha T and Meek Mill rival what he did to Kendrick?
Yeah. Back-to-back was a nuclear bomb. When he did back-to-back on Meek Mill, we ain't heard from Meek since.
He probably over there with Quavo in the gulag.
Hey, he been in the gulag waiting on Quavo to come. Meek Mill been in the gulag. We ain't heard from him since Drake hit him with that back-to-back. He thought he was going to be able to do the same to Pusha T. But Pusha T dropped that Adonai son. And it was over for Drake.
Where did Matt go?
Humbly bowed out. He's still in here. He just don't know nothing about hip-hop.
I'm trying to get in there to see OKC and the Mavs, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
Well,
we end it here.
Gunner, tell them where to reach you.
Matt Lindsay on Facebook. MJ Gunner on Instagram.
Sam Spade.
Y'all already know.
I'm everywhere and nowhere. R-Dog1 on Instagram. R-Dog3 on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening to the Sons of Legends. We'll holler at you boys next week.
Peace.
Peace.